course, this is our study on warnings against false teachers. And it's a study of Jude and Second Peter. Okay. And he kind of gave, you know, a lot of information on it. And as a review, we got to see first, he talked about these to warn us, and we got to be skeptical of them. And remember, any protection God gives us means deal with it the way he says. Don't just, you know, because you get some people, because we know that there exist false prophets, we don't listen to any prophet. Now you could be missing out on a prophecy that was meant for you. However, you get some people that listen to every prophet, and they've lost money and they've lost things, and it ended up being foolish because they didn't follow what God said. So we get a lot on it. He first described them as godless men. And that's showing that you're going to hear a lot of stuff that they give not based on the Bible, because the Bible is Christ, who is God. Do you understand it? He is the Word, and he's not going to go against himself. So you're going to hear them say things that are from other sources and other things. That's when you kind of, you know, you get to understand who they are. They change grace to a license to sin. Like I was saying, sometimes eternal security can fall into that because people teach, I don't care what you do, once you accept Christ, nothing you can do, you can go to hell. So you could turn into you can't go to hell. You could turn into a serial killer and around about what they're saying. They kind of dance around that, but, you know, you have to take that into consideration, because you have some people who think, no, I'm saved, so I'm going, I just won't have a bunch of rewards. It's not what the Bible says. And that's why the Bible makes clear, you can be sure of this, that this group and this group will not enter the kingdom, will not inherit the kingdom. So we have to keep that in mind. They deny Christ. And it doesn't mean they blatantly just say without Christ. You'll hear them do stuff despite Christ, if that makes sense. They'll go around Christ, ignoring what Christ said. You hear them, these same prophets will take something that the Bible clearly says and tell you, you don't have to do it. If you see worship today, how we do it, you know, we've added in leadership in there, how we're changing that, marriage, how we're changing that. Some of the smaller things, like we talk about when we talk about hair and things of that sort, you see some of these smaller things and you get these people who have come in and say, you don't have to do that because it doesn't make sense. And we just go ahead and follow them, not realizing, wait a minute, why is it in Bible? Why are we changing it because of you? And I don't see anything in the Word that didn't change it. Okay. Then they present dangerous doctrine. And this is why I always say, check them in the Word. There are some books that people buy, that people love, that they read, that have nothing to do with the Bible. They'll take a scripture and then they'll run with it. And we'll listen to these people and we get charmed by them because they sound brilliant and they sound smart. And I knew a guy speaking of prophecy who wrote a prophecy book three different times, and all three times were wrong, and all three times were bestseller. Explain that to me. And it shows how we are like sheep led to slaughter, because we want to hear what we want to hear. You know what I mean? It's something that we got to be very careful with, because, you know, we allow them to add stuff into our lives, and you'll have Christians doing things in the name of God that God's saying, I didn't say. The Talmud itself, if you ever heard that term, is the books that the Jews added along with the law. Okay, and I don't know if you remember the verse where they were getting mad at Jesus and his disciples because they didn't wash their hands. Because in the Talmud, they made washing your hands a sacred ritual. Okay, now we're going to talk about sacred in the order of my steps. So I encourage you all to listen to that. But a sacred ritual, and he was saying, you have a fine way of basically letting go of what God says in the law and following what man says in the Talmud. And it's funny because the Catholics have done the same thing. You know, they have the Bible and then they wrote their own books along with it. And they usually go by their books. That's why people want the Pope to change certain things when it comes to leadership and marriage and things like that. And he can't do that. But, you know, somewhere somebody told him, oh, you represent God, so you could change anything. So you get these dangers that come with these false teachers, and they make up stories for the purpose of greed. And not always for the purpose of money greed. Talk about, it could be power greed. It could be, you know, what I want to get out of it greed. So we got to be very careful. So then we saw the warnings to those who are offered Christ but choose not to believe. They're in extreme danger. Okay. So these people know what they're doing. Okay. And it says, when we are delivered, we are required to stay the course or else. I know a lot of times we like to think, well, once I'm a Christian, if I go astray, it may happen, but I'm going to heaven. And the more you read God's word, he says, he that endures until the end, he that endures until the end. So we have to understand our responsibility is to live. It's a lifestyle. of Christ. You may have moments where you slip here and there, but a person who completely backslides is very dangerous. And these false teachers were on the right path and chose to go off. Some of them will do it for money. Some of them do it for other reasons. Power plays a big part. I understand, even in FSG, when you preach the truth, in other words, what the word is saying, it people like it, but it's not inviting. People, it's not as popular. That now, when you hit nerves and people enjoy what you're saying and you make them feel good, they come in droves. So if I treat church as a business, I would start changing the word, but then I have to answer to God. And that's, you know, and this is what happens to a lot of the false teachers. They start getting benefits or worldly benefits from it, not realizing you're setting up their eternal demise. He gives us examples of those disobedient spirits that we read about. And the people of old are our example. He talked about the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. He talked about the angels of old that messed up and now they're in chains in prison. He said, if I punish them, how much more am I going to punish you? If you're doing this, he's like, I know what I'm doing on this. So we need to be fearful in a reverent, but also even a fear of our punishment for doing this, because God knows how to rescue. So if you really want to be a Christian, you depend on him. He'll take care of you. His word tells you that. It may not be in the way you want it, but he also knows how to punish. I know some people look and think people got away with it. He's like, I know what I'm doing. Oh, don't worry about it. So we got to keep that in mind. So then we got the final things was the false teacher characteristics. So here are the things you have to look for that we realized last week, that things that they do that should stand out. Okay. First of all, they contaminate themselves. You'll see them indulging in things that almost clearly what the Bible says not to. I mean, they'll do stuff like sleeping around. They'll indulge in getting drunk. You see them with drugs. So some of those are the main basic things. You'll see them dabbling in other information and books. You'll see them having other people who are not Christians as advisors and partnering with them, even though the Bible makes it very clear. You'll see stuff like that. And they're contaminating themselves and then they're teaching you. Okay. You'll watch it so clearly and you'll still follow them. You know the things that they have and the things that they do are not coming from God, but you'll still give them the credit. Yeah, they're a godly man based on what? Okay, now once again, this is God telling us this is how we can tell them. You'll see them reject authority. Now, what that means is not just the authority of God, they're already doing that, but you'll see them pick and choose, if that makes sense. They'll follow who they want to follow and not who they don't. See, one of the hardest things a Christian has to do is follow somebody that you don't really care for, because the only time I can say I'm not supposed to follow an authority is when they tell me to go against God. Other than that, they're my authority. I mean, I know all of us have experienced where we've gone to a job or even in politics or even, you know, with a cop or whatever. We don't agree with what they're saying, but because they're our boss, we got to do what they say. But you'll see this group reject almost with this attitude of, I don't have to follow you. Based on what? They speak dangerously about the spiritual realm. I told you I grew up in a Kojic church and they were notorious for talking about how they're going to beat up Satan, and I told Satan this, and I told the spirit that, and I told the spirit this. And, you know, in the scripture we just read, it said even Michael, who's a spirit himself, said the Lord rebuke you. And here these people speak against spirits, and they don't have the knowledge of spirits. Now, there are some books out there that if you read would give you details about spirits. Problem is, I have no idea where they got their information from, because it's not in the Bible. He doesn't give that detail. You know, you see some things in Revelations, you've seen that thing when we talked about possession, and you've seen that verse where it talks about our struggle is not against, and it gives the names, which gives a quick title. That's it. It doesn't go into detail about what each of them do and how to protect yourself. To protect yourself is the armor of God. Do you understand that? And to be spiritual, in other words, just to trust in God. But you'll hear them speak as, nope, I went out and I did this demon, and I said this demon, I. And that's a dangerous thing. And it puts you in danger, because then you start dealing with things spiritually that you have no business dealing with. And they also dangerously speak on things they don't understand. There's nothing wrong sometimes as Christians for us to go, I don't know why God has done it. But when we start adding more and making it more mystical than what it is, like I said, the Bible said, God willing, that we do after this, misrepresenting God. One of the most dangerous things you hear Christians do is we'll see something that we don't understand and we almost turn it into something. Because this turned into this, that was my sign, or that was this, or this is the thing that God's speaking to me. based on what? You don't know how many times a person seen an animal, or they were driving down the street and something happened, and they were like, that must have been a sign from God, or this must have been. And we like to take these things, and these teachers will even add on to it. Yeah, that was God, and he was just doing this, and he was doing that. And if it works out, man, he looks brilliant. When it doesn't work out, you'll see him kind of tap dancing away and changing it. No, that's not what I meant, but and it's usually them giving you stuff not based on God, just kind of conning you. And it hit it with we ended it with the title of them being bold and arrogant. These people will be overly confident. And you'll hear them say some things that you're saying, man, they must be true, because who would say that about God? I mean, they almost speak as if they're equal or partners with God. You get a lot of these ministers and the money they're making and the things that they have. This is why we need to pray for them, because remember, they got to answer, you know, to where we even believe, no, they deserve that $1 billion house or whatever. And they deserve that $1 billion and this and that, even though their church is struggling in this. There's a problem with that. And they have a boldness where they'll tell you, yeah, I deserve it. I earned it, so on and so forth. I'm not saying it happens with all, but with most. And there's an arrogance that they have. You know, almost if you were just like me, then you would have what I have. One minister I remember, he continually said, I get everything that I ask for of God. Now he's rich, so I don't know if that's what he means or whatever. You know what I mean? Our family member of his died. So did he not ask for that person to live? It's something that sometimes they say things that people don't catch. So these are the characteristics that we see. So that's where we last left off. So where we're at now, if you don't have any questions, is what false teachers are and what is in store for them. Okay, so now this is going to, we got to see the characteristics. So we're going to get a clear definition of them. And then we're going to kind of break down that definition down here. So let's read first in Jude 11 through 16. He says, woe to them. Remember, in the Bible, when you see the word woe, you don't want to be on the other end of it. Okay, that's a disaster waiting to happen. And he's saying people on the other stand, woe. And he's saying, here's some things that define them. He says, they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. I'll explain those. And then verse 12, it says, these men, and I shouldn't have the Jude there. It's still part of Jude. So there we go. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along with the wind, autumn trees without fruit, and uprooted, twice dead. It says, they are wild waves of the sea foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. The blackest dark. See, some people will give, and I know today when we talk about abortion and things of that sort, those are the people that are going to go to hell, the people who have killed and the people who are raping. They're danger, but this is the worst that the Bible shows. False teachers are by far going to get it the worst. You understand that? Okay, he goes on and says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all their harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers, fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their advantage. We're going to break those down, but I want to read what it says in 2 Peter 2, 13 through 17. It says, they will be paid back for the harm they have done. This is the part we got to pray, because right now they may be living in luxury and comfort and they're misleading a ton of people, but man, are they in trouble. And I'm talking about eternal trouble. It says their idea of pleasure is carousing in broad daylight. So they party with no shame. They have no problem with that. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasure while they feast with you. Okay, and I'll explain that. It says, with eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed. An accursed brood, they have left the straight way. Right here is showing that they were going the right way, but then they left it and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor. We just heard of him, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These men are springs without water, mist driven by a storm, blackest darkness is reserved for them. So we see that in both places, that they're going to be in hell, and there is a blacker, deeper darkness that they're going to be in forever. That's deep. Let's break this down. First of all, they gave them three things that we see in Jude. First, they said the way of King. And you, when you get a chance, you can read these chapters and kind of go over that. But we know that Cain killed Abel. And when it kind of gave the characteristics that they have, it says they've taken the way of Cain. Instead of, you know, when God gave him gave Cain, and you get a chance to read it back in Genesis, about sin crouching at the door, instead of them stop doing wrong, they killed those that are doing right. If that makes sense. So they get rid of, or they try to eliminate, they're doing the way of Cain. Instead of them straightening themselves out, they eliminate the others. And that's the way of Cain. Then they talk about Balaam. Now, if you read the story of Balaam, and if you just ended it in Numbers, you would think, well, he ended up right. Because if you remember, he was going to curse. The kings gave him a lot of money, and they wanted him to curse Israel. And as he was going, this angel of death was coming, kept jumping in front of him. The donkey seen it, but he didn't. And every time donkey would stop, he would beat the donkey. And then the donkey would go the other way, and he'd beat the donkey. And finally, the donkey was like, why do you keep hitting me? After God opened up his mouth and let him talk, you know. And it seemed like he ended where he says, I can't curse God's people. And it seems like that's where the story ended. However, later in the Bible, it explained, and you even see it in Revelations, one thing that he did was he went to them and said, I can't curse what God has blessed. However, if you guys offer, and this is what is implied in Revelations, if you offer your women to them, they're going to now praise other God, or, you know, go worship other gods, and they're going to go astray, which is exactly what happened. And he did it. So they gave him money because he didn't do the cursing, but he gave them advice. He still took the way. In other words, it's like I was saying earlier, it's very easy being a pastor to look at this and say, there is a more profitable way, and then there's the right way. Do you understand that? Because he could have said, well, God blesses, I'm not touching, took his donkey and went home. But he was like, but wait a minute, I'm going to still make my money, so I can't do anything, but I can give you advice. So he still took that way of, how can I still get money? He still allowed money to lead him and still him fearing God. And that's another common one. And then you had Korah's revenge. If you read number 16, what happened in that, Korah and a whole group of other people got mad because they were like, why are we listening to Moses and Aaron? Who are they? We're holy just like them. I'm tired of us following them. Why don't y'all follow us? You know what I mean? They became irreverent, if you will. They became this group where they recognized their own, and they got puffed up, and they got envious, and they got jealous instead of recognizing God's pattern of things. Okay. Now, what I'm not saying is not questioning if Moses was wrong. They're questioning what God put in place. God was very clear when he put Moses and Aaron in place, and they knew this. They just struggled with, why do we have to follow them? And then when everything was done, not only did they die, and kind of hinting to what Sister Carolyn was saying, back in the day, what the head of the household did affected the whole household. In fact, what Korah and the people that follow him, not only did the ground suck them up, it sucked up their families, with their children, with their animals, with their possessions alive. And that's deep. Okay. It kind of still shows men, our responsibility as heads means we got to be what we're supposed to be. Stop playing games. You know what I mean? But so those are the three things on the characteristics that they took from these: the irreverence of Korah, the chasing after greed as Balaam, and the, instead of fixing you, hurting somebody else, of Cain. So they had these things: irreverent, in which there is no reverence. You see them doing stuff and changing stuff without going, well, let me check. I can't do that. You know what I mean? You'll hear them distort God's word to fit them and other people instead of them following God.
Question.
Yes.
So going back to when we're talking about 2 Peter.
Yep.
You said, you know, we should pray for these false pastors, which I do. But my question now is what is the most effective way to pray? Do you pray for them as if they are non-believers and need, you know, salvation, or what?
In one way. But you also pray for God to do whatever it may take for them to turn back, for them to repent. You know what I mean? Whatever that may be. Sometimes it's not a pleasant thing. You understand? And then you also pray that you're clear that you're not feeding them, if that makes sense.
That what?
You're not feeding them as a Christian. Sometimes we help them stay there, by puffing them up, by endorsing them in their wrong, if that makes sense. When they're wrong, they're wrong. You know, you get a lot of people that will support ministers because they have respect for that minister. If that minister is not in God, we do need to go. But we don't, we usually stick with them because we like them, they're friends, and so on and so forth. If they're wrong, they're wrong. You know what I mean? And that's where we have to be very careful on that. So our prayer has to be, your goal is for them to repent. That's the biggest goal. So you want them to repent. So be careful that you're not doing two things, which you're supporting them, which makes them stay, and then you're praying for them, which trying to get them out, and you're actually playing against it, if that makes sense. Got it?
Yep. Thank you.
Absolutely. It went on to say, they're shepherds who feed only themselves. Now, what he's showing us when he uses some of these examples, he's not just insulting them. He's showing their worthlessness. So he's saying, if you pay close attention, they're just, because a lot of them will give sermons that are entertaining, but you'll come out of it with nothing. You've heard me say, I mean, growing up listening to ministers all my life, and you can hear it on the radio, if you really start taking notes, godly notes that are in God's word, you'll know the ones that are true shepherds. They're truly giving and teaching God's word. And the ones that are giving you stories and feel good messages and filling it with a whole lot of fluff, or they're basing it on other things, they're doing it to get your money. They're doing it to make it seem like, I have all the answers, just follow me. I won't give you those answers, but just follow me, even though we all have access to the answers and the church is responsible for presenting them in order for us to understand them. You understand that. So he says they're shepherds, but they only feed themselves. So you pay close attention and see, is the flock truly growing from it? Now, if you're not growing because you, that's one thing. If you're not growing because you're not being fed, there's a problem. That's something you have to keep an eye on. He says grumblers and fault finders. Okay. Nothing wrong. We are, like you see Paul do it many times in God's word. When somebody is doing something wrong, we are to bring the attention out for that. I had somebody a long time ago when, that there was a minister who went against, I think, Joel Osteen. And they were like, see, you shouldn't talk about the other ones. Just ignore them and pray for them and leave it at that. No. If they're teaching wrong and you see people being led wrong, you need to tell the people you do know that's wrong. You're being misled. I have to let you know that. And then you show them scripture showing this and they're telling you this. You've got to be careful of that. That is part of a shepherd's responsibility. But now if I'm just out there looking to beat up people and that's my ministry, is to get up and that's what it says, grumblers and fault. All you hear me doing is fussing and finding fault. That's a problem. That's another trait that it's saying that you'll see in them. They follow their own desires. You'll see the church sway back and forth based on what they want. In other words, you can make doctrine and ways change on how they feel. You won't hear them saying, yeah, but the Bible says. Why? They'll start going, yeah, I know it says that, but I don't know who does that. So, you know, we're going to, and we're talking about on indisputable matters, not disputable matters, indisputable matters. And the problem with this, when it says follow their own desires, even on some things that I think we all could emotionally understand, you remember the minister who in the church, of course, the Bible is against homosexual relationships, but his son was gay. So he distorted it and said, you know what? I'm going to officiate his marriage. And then he went around the country trying to preach why you're supposed to accept this, which is not in God's word. It was based on the desire. I desire my son. But this Bible says, you know, remember, he says, if you love your mother or father more than me or your son and daughter, you know, so you see how, and you see a lot of this in churches today in which we've taken certain things that the Bible clearly says, but it doesn't fit what we want. So we distort it. They boast about themselves. When you get out of it, you're so impressed with them, you want to send them money. You want to buy their book because you think they're brilliant. While in reality, there shouldn't be nothing about them. It should be that word you got. I always said, if I left and they fully remember me, I really haven't done my job. If I left and they can't remember my name or whatever, and that doesn't matter, but they remember Christ, praise God. Does that make sense? That the mark we want to leave is Christ. We're just under shepherds. We're just the mailman. You don't get a check from the mailman and say, man, mailman, come on in. I'm going to, you know, give you half this check because you brought it to me. No, he's just delivering the message. And that's all I am, a mailman. I'm delivering the message. But the minute it becomes about me, you understand that? Now we have a problem. That's a big characteristic of them. They flatter others for their own advantage. Flatter others for their own advantage. You watch the people that they do. Now, have you ever seen, I think some of you have seen this, where they start putting up there, if you send this money, you're a gold member. If you send this money, you're a platinum member. If you send this money, that's dangerous. church has should not be delving into that at all. Because we're basically telling the rich, you're more valuable than everybody else. Even though Jesus said that woman who put two pennies in gave a whole lot more than those other people would ever putting out in their wealth. But we still do that today. We still do that. We give the ones who give more, not in percentage or not in the, of themselves, and we treat them more. It's disturbing. And that's what I say. They flatter for their own event because they know physically these people can provide for them. I want more rich people in here. I'm going to give them the finest seat. They're going to be invited over to my house. They're going to sit at my table. You see where I'm coming from? Because they'll benefit me. But what about this poor person? You remember in Matthew, it said, no, invite the people that can't pay you back, is what the Bible says. Those are the people we need to, if you want to flatter and encourage them. They can't give anything back, and you want to, you know, make sure you're giving to them. And then it says experts in greed. If you really want to know how to be greedy, watch them. Watch them. They do it in such a beautiful way. Okay. And that's the danger in these false teachers. But he gives what's going to happen to them. And then we'll close on this. They will be paid back. I know sometimes you look at them and it looks like they keep getting over. God is saying they will. They may live till 100 years old. Doesn't matter. He's saying they will be paid back. And if they live 100 years old minus infinity, you do the math. They left the right way, which is showing they were on the right path. They left it. They chose to go the wrong way. And then it shows that though all of hell is horrible, the worst of it is reserved for them. Any questions? All right. Praise God. Keep that in mind because there's a lot of them out there. And a lot of us, sometimes we just go through the motions and we'll follow instead of holding accountable. I think if we held them more accountable, there wouldn't be as many, but they're out there because they make money. It's just like, you know, some people watch the garbage that comes on TV and we go, why is this nonsense on TV? Because people watch it and it makes money. I hate to say it. So we as Christians need to pray about it. We need to really focus and getting fed. I can't stress this enough, is your responsibility. You need to hold us accountable. So don't be those to go to church just to go to church. Make sure you're being fed because that's your protection. That's your walk. That's your focus on what you're supposed to do. The feeding is your relationship with Christ. So make sure you're getting the right relation, the right feeding, and that you're being fed in the right way. Any questions? All right. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we thank you once again for your word of protection, dear God. And we just ask you to help us to always just stay focused on you, not to add to it, not to take away from it. We ask for continual blessings on those who are out there who have gone astray, dear Lord, that whatever it may take to bring them back, help us to, in love, if whatever your word tells us to do towards them, let's make sure we're doing it, not so that we're led astray, so that others are stopped being led astray. Help us to make sure we're getting fed, dear Lord, that we're growing in you, that we're not leaning upon any other source of wrong feeding out there, that we're only gaining the feeding directly from you. There are many who are struggling, dear Lord, maybe financially, maybe mentally. Help us to guide them spiritually, dear Lord, to be for them, be there for them, and to grow with them. Can't thank you enough for the love that you always continue to show us, dear Lord. And as we continue on throughout the week, we want to glorify you by shining your light in everything that we do. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a good night, y'all.